Fight!
Manny, we are on air right now. I'm glad you kicked it off with that.
Round one.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to PWTR, where we talk about wrestling and shit like that. you can use the hashtag PWTR. Let us know what's up. Don't tweet Duke because he hates you. And you can tweet Manny, though, at Million Dollar Manny. Say what's up, Manny.
What's up, Manny?
Good. And Duke, say something.
Something.
Damn, you guys, I've trained you well.
Yeah, this is the easiest episode ever. Let's go.
Let's go. Hi. Yeah. And I'm Justin. Let's fucking get into it. The biggest news of the week came that the announcement of a big brand split. It's not just the fact that SmackDown's going to, you know, go to Tuesdays and become live, which is a good thing, I think, at the end of the day, but we'll get to that later. It's going to have its own distinct roster, which opens up a whole door of, like, negatives and positives, mostly negatives from our point of view. But, dude, apparently you have a new spin on the idea of this, and you can start us off.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to say that this is a good idea. All right? It took me a long time because at first I really hated it, but today I had to spend a whole bunch of time on a lawnmower and I got to sit and really just like stew about it. And I've even done a little bit of research into it after kind of like coming to the conclusion that this could be a good guy, this could be a good deal. And you know, the head writer of NXT that was brought up is likely to be the guy who's going to write these SmackDowns. So, when you're going to bring in a whole bunch of new talent now, assuming that when you do the brand split, you're going to supplement those with maybe, say, a Samoa Joe, a Finn Balor, a Nakamura. And let's say that, logically, you're going to keep these two brands pretty separate, right?
Right.
We're going to, at least, at the beginning, attempt to make the SmackDown guys wrestle SmackDown wrestlers and Raw guys wrestle Raw wrestlers. With probably the exception of the champion. Now, if we start at the tag teams, this is the only division I really find tricky. Because with, like, the tag team division, I think maybe you do two sets of belts. And I don't like the idea. But I like the idea that now we can separate New Day on Raw, Enzo and Cass on SmackDown, and then maybe the Club or whatever you're going to put over, whatever you're going to call them, over on Raw. And maybe bring up a tag team like the Revival on SmackDown. So now you've at least got two solid tag teams on each side. Now, if you want to say American Alpha's coming up sometime and they're almost ready, then they can go to whatever side. And you just keep supplementing other tag teams in where needed until you've kind of filled out two little rosters. And I think you can actually make the tag teams work. Women, I think you got to choose one show. I really do. I don't think the women... I think that the women should honestly go on Raw, because if you're going to present them as a big deal, I don't want them on SmackDown.
They're oversigned by the top belt, though.
But if
they're
we're
always
splitting,
oversigned. You put them on SmackDown, they have the potential to main event episodes of SmackDown.
If you're telling me that these women are supposedly as important as the men now, which is what WWE is trying to get across to me, I think from this perspective, they have to go on Raw. Would their writing and their storylines be better on SmackDown?
But
absolutely.
Yet, see, but even from a logistics standpoint, when they had the separated belts, one belt had to go on SmackDown, one belt had to go on Raw. So if you're looking at the women's title as a tier that's just as big as the men's title, then one has to go on SmackDown and one has to go on Raw. I mean, fuck it. Why don't we put the WWE title on SmackDown and put the women's belt on Raw?
Because I'm not putting the WWE title on Raw necessarily. The WWE title, I think the WWE champion is the only guy who should be able to go between shows, but he shouldn't be on every show.
Okay.
I think that maybe you say once every, if it's a Raw guy, I'd say that has the title, I'd say once every 3 months he has to defend it against a SmackDown guy, or maybe once every 2 months. So maybe sometimes it's on a live SmackDown if you have like a program going on. He has to. So that you can like make your program still work at pay-per-views or whatever you want to do, and you're not wasting every other month having to have it be a SmackDown guy. But like now you've got a reason that this guy at least has to go over and wrestle somebody from SmackDown every so often if it's a Raw guy. And if it's a SmackDown guy, he has to wrestle somebody from Raw every so often. But he's not going to be on every show. So the guy should still feel fresh when you see him, because you're only going to see him once a week, hopefully. And most important, and he can still kind of be that guy who is separate it and
World Heavyweight Championship again.
Okay.
So does that make sense at least?
Sure. Are you done?
Well, also that creates more main event spots for people. So you have your SmackDown main event and your Raw main event.
Okay. Yep.
So you have on SmackDown, let's say you go with sending over, we're not going to send Cena because I don't think Reigns draws enough for them to want to send Cena over to SmackDown. Plus, I think that you get a different identity if you keep all of the Vince McMahon, more prototype guys on Raw and let SmackDown kind of be like kind of NXT-ish where you can present a different kind of product.
You mean like the wrestling show?
Mm-hmm. So you send over like AJ Styles, maybe put like maybe if you're bringing up Nakamura for this brand split, which I don't see why they wouldn't, you put him there. You put your Sami Zayn over there for like some of your faces right there. And let's say you turn Ambrose heel, you can bring him over there. He could be a good heel. You go ahead, you bring over Owens if you really want to. I think he's big enough now where he could stay on Raw and kind of hold his own in that main event area over there. But you got to start bringing over some of these heels. Obviously, you send Miz over. And you just start to kind of bring in some of these guys that can work. And then, obviously, some of those guys like Miz who you just kind of have floating and can be a utility guy.
Okay.
And now, all of a sudden, you have a roster with a different feel on one side than on the other.
Okay. All right. Admittedly, I'm leaning toward not being in favor of the brand split for a couple of reasons. But admittedly, WWE has done a great job, and this is kudos to them, of using NXT to build up superstars to the point where it felt like NXT was getting a little crowded with guys and gals that were ready to take that jump. And some of them, like in Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's case, were ready to ascend into the main event scene almost immediately. Even when they were at the NXT level. But that's a positive. So the brand split can work from that perspective. I have concerns. Duke, is Raw still going to be 3 hours?
It has to be. They've announced that.
I'm out there.
I don't like the fact that it has to be 3 hours, but it has to be 3 hours. So
because when, like, SmackDown was just like that supplemental show that Duke or Justin was talking about this in the Twitter. I don't want to just take away from him. This was his point. But when SmackDown was just that supplemental show that you could just maybe watch, it'll augment, it'll add a little extra something to what you're watching, but it wasn't necessarily something that you had to watch in order to be engaged with what was going on. That's all well and good. You know, even with the 3 hour show, as much as I fucking hate it. But if you're adding on a 3 hour episode of SmackDown, a 3 hour episode of Raw, a 2 hour episode of SmackDown, if they don't choose to make that 3 hours too, NXT, in some cases, a 3 to 4 to WrestleMania 5 hour pay-per-view, as well as all the pre-shows and all of the podcasts that they want to do. Listen, man, WWE, I got other shit to do, man. I like other things that aren't necessarily WWE related. You know, I want to go watch Steph Curry play a basketball game. I want to play some Destiny and fuck some people up in Iron Banner. I want to actually eat. You know what I'm saying? So from that perspective, I fucking hate it. And also, are we splitting up the titles? I know you didn't necessarily get to that part.
I don't. The only title I want to split up is the tag titles.
Okay.
And I'm really not married to that idea. Mm-hmm. I just think it might work better because I think you have enough tag teams to do that, mm-hmm. and I think your tag teams are strong enough.
Because one of the biggest things I hated, like, as much as I love the initial brand split when they started doing it, like, what was it, 2002-ish, 2003?
It was the start of it.
2002.
Brock and Triple H, yeah.
After Nitro went off the air. But now, it feels so artificial. And another thing that feels artificial is the fucking, the championship reigns, man. Like, John Cena got 15 championship reigns because there's two available titles in the company that he can hold on to while somebody else is holding something else. And we're always left questioning which one is more important, which championship carries more weight.
More important. I think it was pretty obvious the entire run. Whichever one was on Raw.
No, the big gold belt was very – the big gold belt was the most important title in the company for a while.
When Triple H and Goldberg – when it was on SmackDown, it was not. But when it was on Raw, it was the most important.
Okay, the belt that's on Raw is the most important.
Always been the case.
Oh, remember that year where they conveniently drafted the championships to other shows?
Yes.
How convenient was that?
Dumb shit like that. It just gives way, and it also gives way to us to always want to see matchups that we can't necessarily see because guys are on different brands. I hate the idea of splitting up the New Day and Enzo Amore because I want to see those guys go at it against each other. Like, they don't necessarily have to always be embroiled in a feud with each other, but I'd like to see at least one. You know what I mean? Yeah, and with the brand split, you don't get that possibility except on a fucking bragging rights pay-per-view, which is dumb.
If you don't bring back bragging rights, you could do, like, SummerSlam. You could do WrestleMania.
But then those
guys... things like that.
But in order to build the feud, then you have to bleed those guys onto the other brands, which, again, ultimately makes it pointless.
But is it pointless when you're building up to a big show like that? I understand for this SummerSlam, they'll have to keep them separate. But for, like, next year's SummerSlam, next year's WrestleMania, you could bleed some of these guys together. I think if you only have one or two times where these guys bleed together, I don't think you're necessarily ruining the integrity of it. Instead, you're saying maybe if AJ's on one side and Randy Orton's on the other, and you really want to see AJ wrestle Randy Orton.
Okay, but
can you imagine if Randy Orton and AJ wrestled at WrestleMania?
How do you kayfabe justify that? Like, the idea that what if we have a SmackDown-based Seth Rollins going up against a Raw-based Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and then, you know, after it's over, whoever loses is just supposed to forget about that and move on with their particular brand and not ever have anything to do with the other brand until SummerSlam?
I'm saying it would be tricky. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world, but I'm saying that there are certain circumstances under which you could cross over, and I think that specifically it has to be those big pay-per-views when you could ever cross over. So if you wanted to cross over one or two feuds, I think you could. But I'm not saying just go ahead and say every guy is going to cross over and wrestle somebody else because
that's what happened with the Super Raw and Super SmackDown shows in the first place.
And if you really want two guys to wrestle so bad and it's a name like Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, you could find a way to get the title on one of these guys so that they're that guy who transitions between both shows.
Okay.
See, I think those guys are high enough up. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do it, please don't give me an entire pay-per-view. And if you are, just use the Survivor Series to do that who's better match where you put five guys from SmackDown and five guys from Raw.
Fucking dumb.
I'd like that more than bringing back the entire concept of bragging rights.
See, here, I don't trust WWE to handle this appropriately because they've mishandled so many other things in fucking recent years, let alone in their entire history. I'm not inherently against the idea of a brand split because, again, they have the talent now to pull it off. When they merged back into the super shows or whatever, they didn't have this great depth of talent that they built up for themselves. And again, that's a credit to them. But I can't do 3-hour Raws with this brand split with all the other shows that's going on. I can't split up the titles. I can't deal with that. I want one champion. I want one Royal Rumble winner that goes against that champion. I want one Money in the Bank briefcase. I want one guy that's going to be the guy.
Well, I think the entire thing hinges on if we have one championship.
Okay.
I think if we have one world championship that this is going to work out well. I think if we bring back the second world championship, I think it might start leaning towards one of them feeling completely irrelevant. But I do like the idea that if I'm into the guys like AJ, Nakamura, that kind of, and like the real wrestling heavy guys, and not necessarily into like what Vince thinks is like wrestling and necessarily like the sports entertainment stuff, I can watch SmackDown in 2 hours and I don't have to try and watch 3 hours of Raw to see the guys that I'm interested on or in the match for that last 12 minutes, and they're not going to be on the rest of the show. But if I'm into a lot of the promo heavy, big muscle bound, like almost comic book character looking kind of guys, and really into like trying to tell a story outside of the ring and all that kind of stuff, maybe I'm leaning more towards Raw because these guys aren't necessarily known for being the best in-ring workers, but that should be like the show where we're focusing on these are your Roman Reigns, your John Cena's, those like guys who, when you look at them, they look like a professional wrestler. I think Justin, maybe if you create different brand, like if each brand has its own identity, I think that this will work. Mm-hmm. And I think it creates an opportunity for a lot of guys that Vince would probably even feel guilty about, like an AJ Styles. If Vince had something planned with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, who got himself over during the Reigns feud especially, got himself really over. Now he's got to kind of take a back seat, but Vince might kind of feel bad for putting somebody back who could obviously work really well with what he had and actually could maintain that push and arguably go through SummerSlam. But I mean, are you going to pass on Rollins and Reigns? Are you?
No.
So by creating this like separation now, you've got more main event spots for more deserving guys, which could end up elevating a Kevin Owens, a Bray Wyatt, some of these guys who are almost there, but there's not quite a spot for them. These guys could be elevated because now there's spots for these guys.
Yeah, just as long as we don't get the artificial title reigns. You know what I'm saying? Don't split the
titles up. I agree with that.
Don't split the titles up.
Did I persuade you, Justin?
No. I've had the most interesting week with wrestling. Sunday night, you guys saw how disappointed I was and whatever happened at Extreme Rules. Monday, I was on
Which Friday. I don't understand why, because well, Extreme Rules is a good show.
It's not. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it really wasn't. And besides that, then Monday, like, I rode a high because Raw was a great show. We'll get to that more later. Then I was like, okay, I'm still with WWE. Then the brand split news happened. Like, I just instantly felt like I need to stop watching wrestling because it's like, it's so soul crushing to see something like that, because I was cool with the way SmackDown structure, like Manny mentioned earlier. It's complimentary. You can watch it, you cannot, it's fine, whatever. But I get why WWE wouldn't want that to be the case, because they want, you know, more eyes on SmackDown or whatever. But it kind of sucks for a fan perspective where now I have to do homework now, watch 2 hours of SmackDown, 3 hours of Raw, 5 hours of WrestleMania when it's that week. All this.
But you don't.
Yeah, you do. If you want to, because you want to get
the. You don't have. If you want the guys on SmackDown, why would you watch Raw?
Because we do this show.
If I'm interested, we do the show. Yeah. If I'm interested in the guys on SmackDown, and you're interested in the guys on Raw, like you could watch Raw, I could watch SmackDown.
But I would like to see
like,
what
it really comes down to. If you're interested in certain amount of guys,
right? Listen, no,
watch them.
I'll debunk that right now, actually, because. Look at the pay-per-view, because they're not going to do separate pay-per-views. I hope to God they don't do that, because that's the stupidest idea.
Please! Oh, my God.
Don't do that. It's going to be all. I'm going to be watching a match on, let's say, Night of Champions. I don't know why these two guys are fighting now, because I didn't watch SmackDown. You have to watch SmackDown to know why they're fighting.
And watch a three-minute video package and see the majority of
it. They're not
going to
do that with every match. Like, let's say Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler is happening on a pay-per-view, and they're, like, fought on SmackDown. Like, I don't know. They're going to have a video package for that. It's like, you have to watch SmackDown to know why they're fighting. That's not going to be good. I have to watch SmackDown now to get what I want out of a pay-per-view match now these days. And that's extra work at the end of the day. And it's like, back when I was a kid and I was in high school and stuff, I was willing to do that for both shows because, you know what, I didn't have to a lot of time. Now I'm, like, busy and I have a life now, kind of. It's kind of like I can't dedicate at least 18 hours of my day to a week for wrestling anymore. And that's pretty selfish on WWE. It's not fair to the consumer to make them have to go through all that for 1 week for just, I'm not into that idea at all. And plus, they split those titles up. I am so against that. It's unfunny.
I think this entire thing hinges on whether or not they've split the titles up. I think we can all agree on that.
If they split the titles, if they split the pay-per-views, and if they keep Raw 3 hours, it's over. I'm done.
They have to keep Raw 3 hours because of the way that the TV deals work. And
okay,
apparently they
won't, it's a combination of those three things. I'm done.
I think absolutely they should not split pay-per-views.
That's the dumbest idea if they were to split those pay-per-views up, because no one cares to see fucking, you know, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin on a SmackDown pay-per-view. Like, no, I don't care. Like, if it's on, like, a Night of Champions show, whatever, with both brands there. But I think we have the most chance of that not being a case there. So that's the one I think is least unlikely to happen. I think they're cool with the pay-per-view structure they have now. But world titles, I don't know. I feel like they're going to split those titles up, and it's like a huge step backwards. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And,
yes, I'm kind of worried about that. That's the one thing I'm worried about. Like I said, if they split these titles up, I think it can be a disaster. They can make it mean something, but the only way it'll ever mean something is if these guys are equally credible on each show in that, and especially that we're not getting overinflated title runs. Like, if we're getting people playing hot potato with the belt and now somebody can hold it fucking four times in a year, I think that's ridiculous. But if you have two belts and maybe there's a total of four champions between those two belts total, now maybe you're talking.
What? Manny, you still there?
Potato every other month.
What the fuck happened?
Duke, Manny, are you still there?
I'm here.
All right, Duke, you're cutting out. You're choppy.
Oh, I heard it.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right, could you hear what you're saying, man? Duke, sorry.
Where was I when I started chopping out?
Don't play hot potato with the belt.
Yeah, boom.
No, oh, I literally said just don't play hot potato with the belt. You can't do every other month if you're going to do your two belts. And I don't think they should do two belts, but if they absolutely feel like they have to do two belts in order to have these guys on SmackDown having something to fight for or whatever.
Yeah, that's the big thing. That's why I think they're going to split the belts up, is because they need something for SmackDown people to strive for.
And then build the IC title the way that they've been doing
it. The IC title's not going to be good enough.
It is going to be good enough. If you give them the combination of the IC title, the tag team division, and the women's division, then it will be good enough. Then throw a little cruiserweight belt on Raw.
But that's basically giving them the indication that these guys are not world champion material.
Don't make a cruiserweight belt. We don't need another
belt. Or a hardcore title belt or some other lower tier belt.
You have the United States title.
Because if you're going to create another belt.
Yeah, US title. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're going to create another belt when you say the cruiserweight title, I would have been so confused.
See, I completely forgot about the U.S. title belt.
Hey, Rusev has it now. He's going to... We can support
him. Honestly, I also, by the way, just side note, I am in love with this whole Rusev thing.
Me too.
He is back to being a badass.
I'm co-signing with Duke.
And he is so much better this time around.
Basically, on the pay-per-view, me and Duke were watching it like through Skype or whatever, and we were just like, man, if Kalisto wins, we're going to be so fucking pissed.
He was a bully.
Duke, you say you love his little leap in the entrance way?
Yes, it's my favorite part. Manny, you know what I'm talking about? When he comes out and he does that little like leap with his hands out, and he's like, ah!
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I just designed his next shirt, too. It's going to be red, and it's going to have a black silhouette of him doing that jump with Rusev Matska.
Done.
God, I love Rusev.
Yeah,
Rusev can be on every show. Oh, I'm not putting him on a specific show.
He can be on both shows. But yeah, the big thing is just like, I don't want it to have, because it does feel like extra work now that we have to do, and it feels like everybody's not valuing their consumers' time very well. And it's like, and that's just my big whole gripe with it. And plus, I don't want to have to be like, oh, I have to watch SmackDown to see Sami Zayn when I could just be watching him on Raw like I would be now or something like that. I don't like the idea of doing that. So it's just a big thing. We'll see how they execute it because we know very little. I'm just going off what we've seen from the past with the brand split. And I think the brand split from the past, just looking back, and people like it, it was with nostalgia goggles. It's not because it was good, because it was rarely ever good. So
One more benefit that it would have is actually making NXT a developmental territory again as opposed to like the main event caliber show that it's been, because there's a lot of pressure on these guys that are trying to become superstars and actually coming up through developmental to perform and you know with the concentration of talent that it's had, they've not had the opportunity to actually blossom into those superstars. So you know, that's one perk.
Oh, speaking of which, Samoa Joe has to come up and has to go to Raw.
Yes.
It can't be SmackDown. It has to be Raw.
What about Balor?
Roman Reigns is going to be there. Samoa Joe's immediate path when he gets on the main roster should be a feud with Roman Reigns in which he wins at least one of the matches, if not two, and it looks very dominant the entire time, and then Brock Lesnar.
That has to be sacrificing Reigns?
I don't even think we need to sacrifice Reigns necessarily. If we have this guy just look like a badass who just beats the shit out of Reigns and doesn't seem to care, we've built ourselves a beast. I don't care if this guy gets the title or not, because I want to.
No, we already have a beast
feud.
In Roman Reigns.
But do we have a monster heel that's there all the time?
No, that's true. Is Joe going to be there all the time?
Be full time?
I think if you bring him up to Raw, I don't know why you wouldn't take him full time.
Yeah, that's
I think
I
he
mean,
should be the guy who
sure you would
Brock
take him full time. You would take him full time, but is he willing to do full time? He's been wrestling for a while now, right?
Is he doing full time with NXT as the NXT champion with whatever they do?
I don't know.
I think it would be expected. I know he does live events, right?
Yeah, he does live events.
Yeah,
he does live events. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think Samoa Joe's got a year, at least two years of full time in him for main roster, I think. Maybe
I think we got to create this guy to be a monster. And I think at this point a loss wouldn't hurt Brock Lesnar. Maybe you can make two monsters out of this deal.
You know what we really need to do is let him bleed and get the fuck out of his face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you're saying. I was like, you're confused for a second, but I guess what you're doing.
But, God, it was so annoying.
There's not been many reports besides the fact that it's going to be, you know, live on Thursday or Tuesday now, and then it's like it's going to be
yes,
distinct roster. That's about it.
If they do that, that is one great thing that they do.
It is live.
SmackDown being fucking taped has been dreadful.
They did say,
from what I understand, like from what I've read about this, is apparently they've had this in the plans for quite a long time, and they wanted to do it as early as like earlier last year. But then, like, they were going to have, like, Daniel Bryan be, like, the SmackDown guy.
Yeah, that was the plan.
To make, like, SmackDown a draw. And then the problem was Daniel Bryan was out. So they kind of pulled the plug. And that's why you saw Cole go to being exclusively Raw. Lawler went to SmackDown. And then Ronaldo came in.
Yeah, I'll say.
That was, like, they've just been prepping for this. And they pushed themselves back long enough. Where now I think they know that they have the pieces to make it work. So I think this may be a very calculated move that we're just reacting to the news and not seeing what they have.
Yeah, I would say a positive on the SmackDown side is they will have Mauro Ranallo and they will have the better announced team going forward. So that makes something to look forward to. We actually hear Mauro Ranallo on a pay-per-view. We don't have to hear Michael Cole and Byron Saxton on everything. So it's like...
You know, if they actually sent a healthy Daniel Bryan to be the guy on SmackDown... That brand would have died.
We don't have to go into hypotheticals like that, but...
No, we can't.
All right, your statement, I disagree with it, but we don't have to debate a hypothetical.
But that was like, that was going to be their move, apparently.
Yeah, that was the big
plan.
That
would have been a terrible
move. The IC title or whatever, but...
Daniel Bryan is not that singular draw, but yeah, go ahead.
I don't know, he was over as fuck, so who knows. But...
Yeah, fans liked him. Yeah, just like they like Sami Zayn.
Daniel Bryan can't be that guy that you depend on to hold the title all the time. Daniel Bryan has to be the guy who's chasing the title.
Roman Reigns, yeah.
Yes, Roman Reigns can be that guy that can hold the title. Daniel Bryan, what I'm saying about him is I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying Daniel Bryan needs to be the guy who's chasing it.
Daniel Bryan's that guy that flourishes in a set environment where he's surrounded by a handful of other people. He can't be that one guy that's the guy that's the focus of the show like John Cena was or Roman Reigns is right now.
Realistically, Daniel Bryan's the guy that I would leave on Raw if I moved everybody else who wrestles that particular kind of like an in-ring style to SmackDown. Daniel Bryan would be the one guy I'd leave on Raw. So that he was fighting an uphill battle the entire time, and you always were invested in what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think about. I don't know how that play out without just if it were to be a actual case. So, but speaking of Reigns, though,
he didn't take the bait. We were trying to draw him into a Daniel Bryan debate. He didn't take it.
But I'm going to segue us into the next segment. I think we've said everything we need to say. It took 30 minutes to talk about the brand split. So we're going to talk about Roman Reigns.
We've been on for 30 minutes? Holy fuck. Is my girlfriend home yet? Jesus.
Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins is now a thing. Rollins came back at Extreme Rules after Reigns, buried AJ Styles. But we won't talk about that right now. And then...
We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that
later. I'm very talented.
But shut up. Anyway... Rollins says, hey, I'm bending the belt. I'm going to go for the belt now. I hate the fans because I'm a heel again because fuck, we can't have anyone get over except Reigns. And then, yeah, so they're going to be at a feud. Thoughts, guys?
I don't think Rollins didn't say he hates the fans.
He said fuck Rollins, the fans, basically.
Yeah, well, he was right for saying that because he brought up some legitimate points. He talked about how, like, even we on this show have talked about in the past how we wanted Rollins, please, for the love of God, lose that championship. Rollins is the weakest champion of all time.
Weakest Shield member and everything.
Weakest Shield member, shit like that. And then he got hurt, and we were sitting here, just like he said, wishing him well wishes, wanting him to get back soon because we believed in his talent and the superstar that he had the capacity to be in the future. He just wasn't that as the champion. So him bringing that up on the mic and using that as the fuel to say, you know, you guys weren't really in my corner. Why are you actually rooting for me now or whatever? You know what I did with that fan mail that you sent me? I burned it and all that shit. That was a great promo. So I didn't necessarily look at that as a heel promo, although, yeah, just you can make the argument that Seth Rollins is a heel, you know, what the fuck ever. I still look at him as the character that he is, the cunning, conniving,
heel.
You know.
Cunning, conniving heel.
Shield.
See, my thing about Seth Rollins is, with the character that he is, he's not, like, with the character that you've given me, he's not somebody that can just come back and be a babyface. I understand that you're going to get the original pop, but the thing about the Seth Rollins character is, unless you're telling me that Seth Rollins is a 100% different person than when he left, he had to come back as a heel, and then if he's going to make the transition to baby, it still needs to be character progression.
Make the transition,
and I kind of realized this.
Wow.
Because Seth Rollins is a weasel. That's been his character, more or less. He's willing to do whatever it takes, however it takes. He's going to weasel and cun and connive his way to getting things. And if you want to make that character a babyface, that's not going to be a babyface that gets over. Nobody likes a weasel. You can't really get behind a weasel.
Well, so unless you're Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, but even then, like, Eddie Guerrero, his thing was, he had characteristics of that you can get behind. Like, his wasn't just being a weasel for the sake of being a weasel.
That's true.
But, like, Seth Rollins is, I'm going to get out of this because I know how to weasel my way out of it.
And that's not...
So, therefore, as you're transitioning him through, if you transitioned him naturally and made him into an Eddie Guerrero-type character, you can keep the weaseliness. But if not, he needs to lose it, and you can't tell me that he just lost it immediately. I need to see it a little bit. And yes, he's going to get that nice initial pop, but eventually I think the character issues, just from its own perspective, should be addressed.
I'm just saying because
Roman Reigns isn't getting over because it seems like he thinks he's better than everybody else, and that kind of comes off
awesome.
In his character, which comes off in his character and results in some people wanting to boo him. And that's why he's not 100% baby. And Rollins is obviously going to be liked by some. But if you point him naturally heel, because that's kind of what his character traits would point him to, now the people who want to cheer Rollins can cheer Rollins and boo Reigns. Who really cares? You're getting a reaction. You're getting butts in the seats. You're still going to sell merchandise.
I'm just thinking from a business perspective, it makes no sense for him to keep him heel at all. Because think of all the money you can make with Rollins being a face, though. Because people want to root for the guy, and he's awesome in the ring. There's many ways you can, like, market the guy, but you choose to make him a heel where it's, like, less, you know, merch, less merch items, less all this stuff. It's like, you're losing money by not keep turning him a babyface.
See, first of all, that money is still on the table because it's not like you can't progress him to changing to a face further down the line if that's what you want to do. And secondly, it's just a different line of merch. Like, the way that Seth Rollins is marketed right now is more marketed to grown-ass men who don't like Roman Reigns and are going to buy his merch to support him, and they have the money to do that. You know, eventually he'll be able to tap into that younger market when he turns face and sells to all the kids.
You could do that right now. You could have done that right before Extreme Rules or something.
What's the difference? Like, one is shocking and jarring, and the other one is actually makes sense within the confines of what they're trying to do with him.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to have him come out and attack a guy, I think it's fair to say that Roman Reigns gets about as positive a reaction as he does a negative reaction.
By the way, I love the parallel that he drew when he talked about hitting Roman Reigns in the back at Extreme Rules versus hitting him in the back to destroy the Shield. That shit was great.
That was good.
That was. And I think that for what you needed to do with Seth Rollins here, he almost had to be heel. I do think that they will make him a babyface soon.
I don't.
But
I don't
think, I think they need to load up on heels first. So if that means that we've got a strong opponent for Roman Reigns who has somebody that he that has a legitimate claim and we don't have to wonder if this guy's even worthy of being a contender, I'm fine with it.
I don't know. I just don't see him ever turning babyface because just for the sake of getting Roman over, and that upsets me at the same time. I don't think Vince buys in the same mentality you do, but he wants people to boo Roman Reigns. I think that he wants Roman to be cheered more than anything else. So,
well, yes, you want the guy to be cheered, but he's accepting that Roman gets booed. Otherwise, he wouldn't book him against babies.
But he's not. That's not going to stop him trying to get him cheered.
Like, if you were going to accept that Roman Reigns was going to get universally cheered, you would not book Roman Reigns against AJ Styles in the way that they did. Instead, they acknowledge the fact that Roman Reigns gets booed and that they can play off of the split crowd dynamic. They can make money off both of these guys. And they did. And now with Seth Rollins.
You're choppy again.
The guy isn't straight out of heel.
There you go. Okay.
The guy isn't straight out of heel.
I'll just end it, my final note here. I wish they would turn to babyface. I think there's a lot more creative things you could do with him as a babyface and make more money with it, but that's neither here nor there. I think the match will be, if it actually happens, because you know they've teased this match happening like twice now and they both failed because of injury. I'm not holding my breath. Maybe hopefully they both stay healthy. They can actually wrestle at a pay-per-view. It's going to be a good match. I don't have any doubts of that. So we'll just see where it goes from here. I don't think they gave us much on Raw besides the fact that Rollins is now a heel again and they're fighting the title.
Just a question, because we didn't get to talk about this. Did you like the AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns match aside from the finish?
No.
You didn't like the match?
No.
How could you not like that? I don't understand. You liked it, didn't you?
I liked the match. I liked the finish. I liked all of it.
I did, too. I thought it showed great character development with Roman Reigns and the ruthlessness that he showed in tossing AJ around over and over and over and throwing him into the ringside and everything. I thought that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. What didn't you like about it? You didn't like it because it was the quote-unquote face Roman using heel tactics? Is that what it was?
That was definitely not it. I didn't like any match on Extreme Rules, really. So
how? The fucking Intercontinental Championship match? You didn't
that
like
was
that?
A fucking spot fest. I don't need that
in my life. Get the fuck out of here, Justin. Wrestling is a spot fest.
I need story. I need story.
To be fair, though, it was a really fun spot fest. There isn't a lot of story in that match.
Yeah, I need story in the fucking matches, okay? The match with the most story to it was Rusev and Kalisto.
There was plenty of story. There was Sami Zayn going for the win and getting distracted and thrown off by Kevin Owens and Miz weaseling his way into it. There wasn't a lot coming out of Cesaro in the way of story, yeah, but from those three guys, I thought we got enough story to carry.
They could have done more with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They didn't do it. They didn't maximize on that. The Miz sucks. I'm sorry, but
Miz was great in that match. What are you talking
Miz
about?
Miz is fantastic.
Hold on, though, because that's going to be our next topic, really. But I wasn't into Extreme Rules. The silent match depressed me because I wanted that to be fun. It sucked.
The silent match was shit. Yeah. The concept
besides
was
the thumbtack
better
spot
than the
was cool, but besides that, yeah, and the
that was awful.
What do you mean? The thumbtack
spot? What was awful?
What? The asylum match?
Oh, no, just, okay, you're saying
I was
general.
Just saying that it was just an awful general. The entire thing was just awful.
I like the thumbtack spot and Jericho's reaction. But besides that,
I didn't like how long it took.
Yeah, it did take a while to get to that point. But besides,
I hated
cool
the straight jacket.
The straight jacket. I hated the Divas match. I hated all the matches on that card, except Rusev winning. That was basically my highlight. So... Okay, we're just moving forward. Is that okay? You guys say everything else to say about Reigns and Rollins? Did I steal your thunder here? Or you get all you need out?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
Well, let's talk about the aftermath of Extreme Rules, where we're moving towards Money in the Bank with qualifying matches for Money in the Bank, which was awesome. Gave Raw purpose, as Manny said before we got on the call, which is great. We had some character development with Sheamus. I want to speak about Sheamus for a second, if you guys don't mind, real quick. I think
he's fucking terrible.
He's
fucking amazing.
Sheamus is going back to his roots.
I do mind. He's terrible.
Sheamus has gone back to his roots of being, a brute, which is great.
Being boring.
He's not boring. He's great. He was talking about how he's not going to be, accepted for all audiences, how he's going to destroy Sami Zayn. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, fuck Sami Zayn up. And then it's like, oh, he lost. Character development, where it's like, oh, he won Money in the Bank last year. He's not going to be there next year. I'm like, great, they're actually putting effort into him. Then he beats up Apollo Crews, and then Apollo Crews fucks it up by not selling anything.
Putting effort into him, his whole shtick is that he's the guy that's railing against the whole new era thing, and this
that
dumb.
Be fun.
This
that's
one of the most generic things you could throw on a superstar.
And then he beats up Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews doesn't sell it because Apollo Crews sucks. And then
and this comes out of nowhere. It makes Sheamus look weak because he's only doing it because he's losing to these guys.
It's going to lead to something. I believe there's an end game.
It's not going to lead to a fucking thing. It's going to lead to the new era kicking his ass.
Lead to something,
the only good thing about Sheamus is that he's the only person to have a movie or anything like that come out and not have to turn babyface.
Okay.
He had a movie?
Yeah, TMNT.
Yeah, he's in Teenage Mutant. Yeah, TMNT 2.
Really?
Yeah.
He's
Rocksteady.
Wait a minute.
Is he which one is he? Is he Rocksteady
or
the other one?
I can't remember.
He's either Bebop or Rocksteady. Yeah,
Sheamus is Rocksteady?
One of the two.
Dude, I gotta go see it now. I have to go see it now. Holy shit. Holy shit. Wait a minute.
He looks hilarious in the movie, too.
Yeah, a WWE great. Superstar who is not The Rock is actually playing a major film role?
Well, Batista.
Oh, well, Batista, too. I forgot about him. But Sheamus is active. Sheamus is active as fuck. When did he do this?
Right?
Yeah, we do have
no idea. I had the same question.
And he has the mohawk in the movie, so we have no idea. It had to be around that time. So.
How? When did this happen? I am happy for him. No, I'm legitimately happy for him. Like, real shit. I'm legitimately happy for him. He's still boring as shit in the ring, though.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, what do you guys think about the qualifying matches in general? Don't leave out the AJ Styles thing, because we're going to leave that later, the whole thing. But just the matches and the, you know, meaning of qualifying for Money in the Bank and how the dynamic's shaping up, basically.
What do you mean?
I just talk about it real quick. You're not going to get every match to be good, but I love the effort that they put into making these qualifying matches so that they actually had a modicum of importance so that there was a reason for me to not just fast forward through everything, because a lot of the feels that I get from a lot of these Raw matches, especially when they like throw together Bullet Club versus The Family or some shit like that, it's like, okay, somebody wins and nothing actually happens. There's nothing of consequence that comes out of this. But with these Money in the Bank qualifier matches, they actually had purpose. Where somebody wins, it actually means something for a higher purpose, which would be entering them into the Money in the Bank briefcase match. And I think that this is also a better way of selecting these contestants so that it doesn't seem like it's just at random that somebody gets this opportunity and you know, we throw it on a guy like Dolph Ziggler or throw it on a guy like Jack Swagger.
Kofi Kingston last year. He was just thrown into it last year.
I mean the briefcase in general. Like at least they had to like earn their way into the match so that it's not just something that we bestowed upon them.
Speaking of earning their ways into the match, I heard Del Rio just announces that he's in it.
Great.
So if anybody wants to know about earning your way into the match, and I'm sure John Cena will be inserted into it when he comes back.
Well, fuck everything I just said.
Yeah, basically.
But I think at least in the John Cena perspective, that would make a lot of sense.
Del Rio, not so much.
Del Rio, yeah, I was going to say Del Rio, not so much.
But I am going to be in the Money in the Bank qualifier.
I will.
I'm like 95% sure that's what I read. So
it is my destiny.
All right, taking that out because I guess that's SmackDown. We don't talk about that yet. But
I'm gonna have to watch so many SmackDown hours.
But just talking about, you know, what Michael Cole kind of like did his job at the end of Raw last week. We talk about the dynamic that you have Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn in the same match. You have Jericho and Ambrose in the same match. They're building up feuds going into the Money in the Bank, which is gonna be a lot of fun to add to the story of Money in the Bank match, and just instead of making just a spot fest like the WrestleMania 32 ladder match with Zack Ryder 1 or whatever. Is there's going to be actually character and like purpose. I don't know what Del Rio's purpose there, but well, Cena.
WrestleMania 32 had a better storyline in it than the Fatal 4-Way did. I'm just going to put that out there.
I don't care. Zack Ryder won that match. Fuck him. And then, so, besides that, I think
Zack Ryder had to win that match, and I will defend that till the end of time.
Well,
he's the only person who could drop it the next day.
You go ahead and do that. I don't care. That's a waste of my time.
I agree.
Besides that, I thought the matches on, with the exception of the Apollo Crews match, was really good, which Apollo Crews was a botch fest, but whatever. I thought they're actually putting
good matches on. Yeah, what happened with that? Did he like, get hurt and Jericho had to win it? Or
I
something,
don't know. It was weird.
I'd imagine Apollo Crews want a Crews in that match.
He wasn't going to win because he's going to be in a program with Sheamus. Did you not miss that point?
Yeah, that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought I thought he had a bad performance. I think Apollo Crews was drowning in his own potential here. He's not doing so well. I think Baron Corbin has potential to succeed because he cut a good promo against Ziggler. I think Apollo Crews is dead in the water now. He's not going to...
Baron Corbin should be in that match.
Money in the Bank?
Yes.
Fuck yeah, fuck
especially, he needs to go ahead and step on Dolph Ziggler like the pissant that he is and go ahead and move on to Money in the Bank.
Manny, I agree. But besides that...
good point.
Yeah, and plus, we all agree. Baron Corbin.
I said Dolph Ziggler isn't in that match, but then I remembered, oh yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, boom. We got it. Honestly, I wouldn't mind if Baron Corbin won the match, to be honest with you, quite. But besides that,
as long as they actually treat him like they give a damn, that's the only thing.
No, people who need to be able to win this match are Cena or Kevin Owens.
I like to see the dynamic of Ambrose winning that with the Shield guys in the main event.
That will blow my fucking mind. I didn't even think about that.
Ambrose would need to, have won something important.
He won the Asylum match. That was important.
I said important.
He won his way into the match.
Yeah, he beat fucking Dolph Ziggler.
Like, my dream scenario, this is the only way this would work. All right, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, the bell rings. All of a sudden, Dean Ambrose comes out, triple threat, immediately. Done.
Dude.
That would make that so much better. But... they won't do that. I think the obvious choice is Kevin Owens is going to win the match. But
and then you build up the idea that he's a fucking lunatic for coming out and doing it at the start of the match instead of just waiting for somebody to be down.
All beaten down and broken, but he...
I found it. Del Rio announced that he was going to be in it and then beat Zack Ryder to officially qualify.
That's kind of awesome.
So he basically just announced his way into it, right?
That's kind of awesome.
I think that's why I thought he did it.
Zack Ryder was in a qualifying match. Was this on SmackDown?
Yeah, and I want you to know that after the U.S. Championship match, Titus O'Neil comes out.
Rusev versus Titus?
Hey,
spoilers, Kalisto didn't win the title back.
Oh, thank God.
Oh.
I'm guessing Miz retained too, right?
We're legitimately going to get Kalisto and Rusev. Oh, yeah. Miz is the main event of the show. And apparently it's supposed to be an excellent main event in between him and Cesaro.
Did Miz win?
I might go watch SmackDown.
I actually think this show looks very good.
I thought it looked good when they announced it on Monday, but I just,
right. Unfortunately, you have to sit to a Natalya Dana Brooke match.
Oh, boy.
Good news, it's less than 1 minute.
Which, by the way, Natalya is a piece of dog shit to me. But, yeah, go ahead.
Good news, it's less than 1 minute long, so you'll be okay.
All right, speaking of Dana Brooke, though, that's actually a good segue into what we're talking about next. Charlotte had a moment.
Jeez, did we talk about everything else already?
Basically, she came out saying, "You suck, Ric Flair. I'm the dirtiest player in the game." Standard heel bullshit. But then she's like, "I'm not going to be with you anymore. You leave."
There was nothing standard about that promo.
No,
it was
basically it's the standard, I'm always been better than you. That whole cliche or whatever. But it wasn't executed well. You're right. But then Ric Flair cries. He leaves. They're not together anymore. She has Dana Brooke. It all sucks. Let's talk about it. So, Manny, your thoughts?
It sucks because it could have been done well. Like, the idea for it is fine. The idea that, okay, she finally has... Which, Duke, you're going to make the point, right, about Dana Brooke?
She sucks cock.
Well, besides...
And... Oh. Okay. I'll go ahead and make the point then. Dana Brooke came out and helped Charlotte win, completely ruining any logical reason for this segment to happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So by her interfering on her behalf, that proved that Charlotte wasn't ready to be independent because she still needed somebody else's help to win.
Exactly.
So now, this entire thing is fucking stupid.
Right. Now let's say that didn't happen. Let's say that Charlotte actually won on her own. Then yes, she has gone out there and proven her own self-worth to herself. And now she can shed her father or whatever. She can harbor up those resentful feelings that I don't know that we've ever seen, but whatever. Let's pretend that we've seen those feelings all along and it's just been subtle hints. And yeah, now she could go ahead and finally do that. She still didn't deliver properly. Like, the idea itself is fine, but she was stammering over what she was trying to say. There was no real flow. It felt like really jerky from point to point that she was making. There was no like story that she built up. It was just, and the biggest thing she did wrong in my eyes, she really let the crowd get into her head. Like, they were fucking with her. They threw her off of everything that she was trying to say, to the point where it's like, really? Really? Like, all the extra shit that she was saying to the crowd, all it did was serve as a break in the flow of what she was trying to say.
And Manny, and sorry to cut you off for a second, but wasn't it, when they were chanting what? She's like, want me one more time. Like, what was she going to do if they were going to...
Exactly!
Like, broke character.
Everything, yes, exactly. She fucked up in that segment when it came to handling the crowd. That was one of the worst jobs that I've ever seen anybody do.
Yeah,
of handling what the crowd was throwing at.
I just wonder what she would have done if they were to continue wedding her. Like, what are you gonna do?
Like, she would have just walked out or something.
So random question, but I don't know why I just thought of this. But like, what's your favorite way that people handle the crowd when that happens? Like, when people start to get a little bit too rowdy.
Triple H is the master of doing that shit.
Triple H and Stephanie are masters of that. Like, when they throw out the what chance, they'll just keep talking. They don't have any breaks in anything. They just keep on going along with what they're saying. And the crowd never gets a chance to throw in the what chance.
But, like, if they have to deal with it, like, I know Stephanie's had some very good moments when somebody tried to derail her promo.
Like
the CM Punk chance. Oh, these people want you to quit like CM Punk did.
Perfect. That's how you do it.
Exactly.
Like those kind of like little moments. I always think about like how The Miz always just like turns it into heat with the, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. And that's like one of those little things that I absolutely love about his character, is it makes so much sense.
I love
and
that.
Like, yeah. What are other little things?
I mean, I can't think of
Vince
any
Vince had
right
a good
now.
One with CM Punk at Payback. I thought you were going to do it forever. Got more? Come on.
Well, his was like, he drew that out too much.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I think Vince is like, they got to get it out. Those fucking idiots think he's going to show up. But
there are so many different ways to do it.
Yeah, and you got to be quick-witted. You got to be quick to think of something. You can't be afraid to, like, when Stephanie said, oh, they want you to quit like he did. Like, you know, you got to take those shots sometimes.
And I'll even give Roman Reigns his props. Back in, like, 2014, they were, like, chanting Cena sucks at him. And Roman's like, yeah, you damn right Cena sucks when I'm in the house. I'm like, okay, that's how you do it.
Yes. Good. Yes. Yeah. Roman Reigns. Yeah. And can I say he's gotten immensely better on the mic? Because
he needs some work.
Because he's so comfortable with who he is right now, and it's wonderful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Also
they're not forcing him to be a complete babyface. They're saying you can have an edge.
Yes, I love it. Rollins is immensely better too. Yeah, I'm not taking away from him. He's brilliant now. Well, he was brilliant in that promo, but how I'm not keen to talk about Charlotte and the job that she did.
Yeah, but basically my whole thing is like the story doesn't make sense from a story perspective at all, where it's like, what, you like 2 weeks ago saying my dad's better than your uncle Natalia, now it's like, fuck you dad, I never needed you. Like, were you just hyping him up a couple weeks ago? What's the sudden change? What changed here?
Then
her performance was terrible. Ric Flair was trying like hell to make it work, but it just came off as hilarious. So it's like, where he's just crying, like, come on Flair. And then she starts crying in the middle of it. It's like, okay, you're supposed to be like, you know, strong and like, fuck you, dad. But you're like, I don't want to hurt you, daddy. But I mean, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't play well. And it was a mess. It was a hot ass mess. At the end of the day, I've never liked Charlotte. This does nothing for her to make me think she's a better heel. I think it makes her worse as a heel. She's kind of pathetic. And it's like, and plus no.
And then it's just kind of awkwardly standing there, like, oh, and she served no purpose to what was going
on
there.
Like, am I supposed to be?
Yeah, she was. She did serve a purpose. They had to do a little high five snap thing.
Yeah, pause.
She's like, this is kind of uncomfortable.
What the fuck was she doing there?
She should have walked in.
Yes, Charlotte has somebody else to help her now. She's decided she's the woman. Here's her other woman to help her out.
And here's the biggest thing of all. With no Flair in her corner, I don't want to see any of your fucking matches. Unless it has like a Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch opposing her, I do not want to see a Charlotte match.
I mean, you're going to get Dana soon, because Dana is clearly not doing this just for the benefit of her.
I don't know. Dana Brooke comes off as very stupid, so who knows?
I don't
know. Dana Brooke is not going to get to face Charlotte, because I think it's pretty obvious we're putting the title on Summer soon. They have to know. Not Summer.
Summer?
Sounds like, wait a minute.
Sasha. Sorry, I was just thinking about people who could play Charlotte's character better than Charlotte.
Summer Rae could.
Sorry.
By the way, where's Paige at? Is she dead?
No. I don't know.
She wrestled somebody recently.
Yeah,
I don't remember
she
who.
Shouldn't she care about the no? Okay.
No, because now that we only have one title, even though we can only have two feuds, because it's women's wrestling now, not divas, so we can put two of them on TV, but not like the good ones.
Like,
we have to go with Dana Brooke.
Paige and, you know, Becky Lynch feud going on right now since Emma's gone.
Because Paige is a face, because literally everybody on the roster besides Dana Brooke and Charlotte are faces.
Eva Marie, is she a face?
That's why.
They brought her back again.
They brought her back as a face. You remember when they put her on the face team
right.
at WrestleMania?
Lana, no, she doesn't wrestle much anymore. You're right. There, yeah.
Apparently, Lana's getting ready to wrestle with the Rusev, so.
Jesus. I guess.
We're going to do mixed tag matches. Hell yeah.
Can't wait.
That was a rumor, at least, so.
All right, and we're going to end the show off. We're going to segue now into AJ Styles confronted the club, and they are no longer friends on WWE 90210. Guys, thoughts?
I mean, there's not much that came of it right now. All they did was, you know, oh, we broke up, we're not brothers anymore, and they walked the fuck out the ring. In the coming weeks, we should see a little bit more development. I think that this is going to lead to Finn Balor coming up onto the main roster and being the new leader of this club, and he's going to appoint it the Balor Club, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be him against AJ Styles, which is never a bad proposition. And it makes sense with the way that it even carries over from Japan with the way that AJ Styles was kicked out of the Bullet Club initially. So I think that it could lead to great things, and, you know, it also could lead to bullshit.
So does it happen?
Oh, go ahead.
What?
I thought you were going to, like, mention how Gallows and Anderson are not the club. They're something else.
Oh, yeah. Gallows and Anderson are the fucking jobbers.
Boom.
I just like to put it out there. These guys don't win shit. But anyway, after that lame-ass joke, I'd like to transition into, is Finn Balor going to come in and initially be, like, quote-unquote, the equalizer for AJ Styles?
The equalizer? What do you mean?
He's going to face against the club.
So that, like, when he comes in, you see Finn Balor, it's like, oh, AJ recruited himself a friend from Japan to come wrestle with him. And
that makes sense.
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, then you get the turn, and then you go to Finn and AJ.
That makes sense.
I understand. I was trying to, like, come up with, like, AJ can't be stupid enough to go one-on-two, right?
But he would be stupid enough to think, oh, Balor would be on my side here.
Well, I mean, he stood in the ring like he was about to go one-on-two. Like, he didn't give a fuck about them two being in the ring.
Yeah, obviously that's the babyface thing to do. But, I mean, like,
but
you're
going to
bring an equalizer, right?
But it's going to be dumb enough to say, hey, Balor, you won't obviously turn on me. You will be an ally, but I don't know. I think
he's stupid. If we're going to do this, isn't that the only natural way to introduce Balor to the storyline? I mean, just because it's a predictable thing doesn't mean it's the wrong one.
Or how about you just have, you know, AJ's in the middle of a match, all of a sudden Balor attacks him and the club helps him. Boom.
Yeah.
But
pretty basic.
Either one of those. All I want is a heel Finn Balor, and it's going to be great.
But yeah, the problem with that one is then if they're feuding now, but now it's going to be AJ's down 3-1, 1-on-3.
Yep.
Well, she's going to end up down 1-on-3, but do we want to start with him down 1-on-3, or do we want to have somebody betray him again? So the two times he's tried to turn to somebody, and it didn't work, so now he's going to try and do it on his own.
So now he's going to be the lone wolf?
Well, two times he's tried to do this, and both times, now you've got a reason for him to not try and bring in two more jabronis.
I love how you pick up on that too, Manny.
And instead try and make this instead of
Austin Aries.
Oh, God.
And then maybe he goes against Samoa Joe.
Gee. Hey, they got Eric Young now, so why not him too?
Oh, they do have Robert. Eric Young. Team TNA!
NXT is TNA now.
What the fuck happened over there?
Dixie's probably hanging herself.
Like, they're loyal wrestlers that are leaving now. This is crazy. This isn't just Bully Ray or some shit.
James Storm's over there like, what the fuck did I do?
Like, I had a chance. I was at NXT. I should have just stayed.
I had it good. I don't know what I did. but yeah. But
man. Alright. Yep.
Alright, I think that hits. Go. I think we're done here. Let us know what your thoughts on the brand split, everything else we talked about with the hashtag PWTR. We can hear us every Saturday. And any parting words, guys?
Tweet us with the hashtag. I'm sorry.
I
tweet
just
me
said
at
that.
PWTR Manny. At PWTR Manny. At PWTR Duke. At PWTR Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I don't have a Twitter.
Pretty sure you do.
Pretty sure yeah. I don't.
Yeah, and that's all, man. Looking forward to the next time. This is a good show. I thought it was a good show.
And I am, you find me at PWTR Justin. I don't know why you would tweet me, but if you do, cool. And we're done. Bye.